You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nothing like a round table, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Out in California, there's a place called Round Table Pizza that I was a big fan
of. I've had a round table before.
You have? It's a solid pizza.
It is a solid pizza. They had the pizza buffet, didn't they, in the afternoon?
They had a buffet. Their Supreme was always very good. As
fresh veggies.
And they did commercials that were night-themed, which I enjoyed as a fan of nights. Dog Pound, be sure to tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns every Sunday for Browns pregame coverage all season long, beginning at 11 a.m. You even will have the opportunity this week at 11 to see Matt Wilhelm in his debut as the co-host of Inside the Cleveland Browns.
I'll be rocking my orange jersey doing the show because the Browns are rocking out the orange jerseys
this
Sunday.
That's right, it will be the orange jerseys this Sunday for the Browns, the first of two times this season. All right, time for the roundtable. Nathan Zger, Matt Wilhelm will be joined now by Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, and Doug Deacon, radio analyst for the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And gentlemen, Deke, I'll start with you. Biggest takeaway from this game against the Rams?
You can't turn the ball over. You can't get down early in a football game, and you got to be balanced on between your pass and your run. And we still continue to struggle stopping the run. So it's some of the same problems, but I think Josh McCown played a good game, and he almost was like John Wayne out there the way he was taking a beat.
He was. Gribbs?
I just thought it was an all too familiar early hole, which then makes this offense, which when it's not predictable, it can be very good and keep teams off balance. But as Pettin said yesterday, the offense got a little bit predictable, and that's when the Rams could really gear up and really bring the heat on McCown. And then it was one of those cumulative things where the hits just kept coming and coming on McCown. And once the Browns got in a hole against a defense like that, you're just playing from behind, and it just kills any kind of momentum you get, and it makes it tough to just be in that game.
Deke, I'll ask you this question first, and this is, of course, coming from your offensive line side of experience. When you look at our defensive line as an offensive line, former member, what do you see that we're doing or not doing, rather, that doesn't allow us to penetrate, to disrupt, which a lot of 3-4 defenses do in the National Football League?
Well, I think you said it. We're not penetrating, and if that's what we're trying to do, we're not doing a good job of. We're not getting the backfield and being disruptive. And if we do, the times we do, all of a sudden people will over pursue or open up the backside, and they'll just cut it back. And right now, we're really a little bit out of sync. You want to have fits on all your holes, and so far we haven't done a good job of doing that.
Gribbs, you're writing an article for CleanBrowns.com about the run defense for the Browns. What have you seen? Because it seems like, and this game was a perfect example, it starts off good, and then as the game goes on, the struggles emerge.
Yeah, I'd like to go back and look at what this defense has done in the first series of every game. It seems like they come out great on that first series of the game, and then it just gets worse and worse as the game goes on, particularly in the third quarter. I think that's been the biggest area. I think opponents are rushing for about 6.8 yards per carry in the third quarter against the Browns rush defense. And as I was telling you guys earlier, only two times a season has a team run for more yards in the first half than the second half. So it's just those chunk plays tend to be happening more in the second half when the game is on the line and you least need them. It's hard to kind of pinpoint why that keeps happening, especially when the Browns are rotating as many bodies as they are. But it's something that this defense, even if you go back to that Tennessee win, they need to put together a full four quarters, and I don't know if we've seen that yet this season.
Doug, another question for you along the offensive line, and this is banking on the fact that, yes, Josh McCown's been very successful. He played another good game, high completion percentage, nearly 300 yards passing, and we've become a pass-happy football team. But what does this offense need to do? Because we've had callers talk about, Joe Thomas with his false starts, with some of his penalties or his play recently. But how much does this offense, being able to live in that 50-50 run-pass question mark and put it on the defense, how much pressure does that take off of this offensive line?
Well, it takes a lot of pressure off. I mean, anytime, you're looking at a team last week that, once you get down by 10 points, all of a sudden, they're just going to pin their ears back, and they're going to play the run on the way to the passer, and that's a tough thing to be in. I remember playing San Diego once, and they had Louis Kelcher, Freddie Dean, Gary Big Hands Johnson, and I mean, we got down early, and we ended up throwing the ball 57 times. Well, when you start throwing the ball that many times, you know, they're just going to tune you up. And you know, Andrew was talking about something about the rotation, and sometimes I think that works against you, because when you start running in people back and forth, you don't get in the flow of the game. And you know, one of the things a lot of people like to do is, if you're a defensive lineman, is try to set somebody up, show them something, then when they're looking for that, then you come back with something else. But you know, I think sometimes you over run people in and out. You can't, you know, do it all the time. You know, the offensive line, they get into the flow of the game. You know, for us, I think the problem has been we're not really getting bodies on bodies all the time, to the point where we can get a push at the line of scrimmage.
Gribbs, are you surprised that you're seeing this kind of three-man committee, and do you expect the Browns to maybe decide on one main runner? We know Duke Johnson's role is Duke Johnson's role, but you know, it seemed like it was Crow early and he had success, and then basically he went away for the game, and then it was Robert Turbin in the second half. Do you expect to see some type of a balance there, and which one of those runners has stood out the most to you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was kind of confused by the Crow thing too, but then Peck comes out yesterday and said that it seemed like he got knocked in the ribs pretty good after those first two carries. He had -2 on his next six carries after gaining 11 on those first two. I liked what I saw from Turbin in the second half. It seemed like they got some things working. He had a 22-yard run. He also had a 10-yard run that came back because of a holding penalty. I think it's going to be one of those things where it's matchup-specific going forward. Maybe as Turbin gets more and more comfortable with this offense, maybe we're going to see more and more of him. He really didn't play until the second half of this last week's game, though. I think Duke is what he is. I think we're going to keep seeing him a lot, and you're going to keep seeing these 5, 6, 7 reception games. I think the fluctuation we're going to start seeing is probably between Crow and Turbin, and I think that's going to be something that maybe is determined during the week of practice, and you might see a heavier workload for one of those guys on Sunday based on what you see during the week.
Doug and Andrew, we're talking with Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and, of course, Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer at ClevelandBrowns.com. I want to ask you guys both this. Yesterday, Mike Pettine made it clear that it wasn't even a thought to him that it might be time to start playing Johnny Manziel. And again, if from my standpoint, if you were to go to Johnny, it would in no way be an indictment of Josh McCown, who has vastly exceeded expectations and has shown toughness, heart, leadership, and high level of play, setting records for this franchise. But are we close to the point, Doug, where you think it's time to go to Johnny Manziel just to see what you have in him this season?
I don't think at this point. I think, you know, at some point down the road, there might be that time when the schedule or the one loss record gets away from you to the point that, you know, this is what we've got to do. But, you know, you also have to think about the other guys on that football team, and, you know, that are out there playing, and they're playing to win. And you've got to play the guy that gives you the best chance. When you start to the point where you want to evaluate later on in the season, then, you know, you've kind of sent a message that the season is over.
Doug, so you the fact that Johnny went out there, started a game against Tennessee, and won that game, you still would see a move to Johnny Manziel as a move saying that you're giving up?
Well, I would say, you know, at that when you go to him, unless, you know, something happens to Josh, or, you know, if Josh can't play this week and, you know, he has a Johnny goes in and has a great game, then you might have to look at it differently. But I think at this point in time, I think, you know, the belief is if you look at the numbers, you look at the way he's played Josh
good.
Josh has given you the best opportunity to win at this point.
I think at this point in the schedule, I think you've only had one division game at this point. So I think the move to Johnny at this point, if Josh is healthy, would be premature. I kind of look at that bye week 3 weeks from now. If you say you lose two of the next three or even all three, then you might have to consider it, because then you've played against the division. As Dante Whitner said after the game, those games basically count as two for you. But if Josh is in there and he can string together two of three wins in this next stretch, you know, three wins if you're getting really optimistic, then you're probably gonna have to stay with him even after the bye week. But I think that's a key transition point. You've got about, I think because of the Monday night game, you've got 15 days in between that Steelers game and the Ravens game. So that would be maybe when you start considering the move, even if Josh is healthy.
Gentlemen, we appreciate the time as always. Deke, always great to hear from you, and we will talk to you. Obviously, I'll be talking to you Sunday for the call of the Cardinals and the Browns.
Okay.
All right. And Gribbs, before we let you go, since you are prolific and shouldering a heavy load here at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. What can people look forward to? I know you just put out, or will be putting out very soon, your film review play of the Robert Turbin 22-yard run.
Yeah, it's up in there. That was, again, some good help from you, Nathan, on that one. That was one of the best rushing play in the last 4 weeks for the Browns, which is both a good and a bad thing for what's happened the last few weeks. But then later today, I got kind of a breakdown on what's going on with the run defense. And again, a tough challenge coming up on Sunday with the fourth best NFL rushing offense and a rejuvenated Chris Johnson on Sunday.
The thing about it is, for this run defense, they played the easy part of their schedule.
Yeah.
They played the teams, Tennessee, that doesn't run the ball very well, San Diego, Oakland. Those teams have already been played. Now you're going to deal with a rejuvenated Chris Johnson. He's had the fourth-ranked rush offense. Then you got Cincinnati, who's got Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard. Then you got Le'Veon Bell. You come out of the bye with Forsett, who rushed for a buck 20 on you. And then you go through your division again, and then out of division, you get Carlos Hyde. You get Marshawn Lynch and the Seattle Seahawks, who have the best rushing offense in the NFL, and really the only one on the schedule that isn't a great rushing offense. Well, although they did pretty well against Steelers last week's Kansas City.
This is tough. This is an important week. I mean, you got to basically fix whatever is going wrong in that third and fourth quarter where things have just kind of gotten out of hand. After, you know, not the best first halves, but if you kept that pace that you've had in the first half, you wouldn't be the last ranked rushing defense in the NFL right now.
You're right about that. Andrew Gribble, follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. When we come back, we will hand out the grades. Offense, defense, rookies, oh my! It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford.